Welcome to Radio Tacoma Interviews. On April 28, 2020, Pam Beal spoke with Leah Michelson, who is with the City of Tacoma Office of Sustainability.
Now, before we get going with Earth Day South Sound 2020, do you want to tell us just a little bit about your work with the Office of Sustainability?
Sure. So I work with the, yes, Office of Environmental Policy and Sustainability, which is a mouthful. So we just, we'll also respond to the Sustainability Office or, Tacoma Sustainability, City Sustainability Office. And my role is a Community Relations Officer. And we are, although I'm housed within the Sustainability Office, I also help support the entire Environmental Services Department, which is the department that our division works under. And so my role is to kind of help coordinate outreach and engagement with community members around all things environmentalism and sustainability when it comes to people working and living and playing here in Tacoma. So that's my role. And of course, things have been a little bit different these last couple of months in terms of what outreach and engagement and working with community members looks like. But we're pretty pleased with the work that our team has done over the last couple of months to try and keep folks engaged and keep environmentalism and sustainability in their minds, even during this challenging time.
Yeah, great. Good. I know that with Earth Day, when we were having the meeting over at the Eastside Community Center, we all agreed that it was really Earth Year. And that Earth Day was really just a kickoff for things that were going to be happening all year. Do you want to talk a little bit now about what Earth Day South Sound is planning? Or
sure. Yeah, definitely. So, this Earth Day is unique in a couple of ways. First and foremost, it's unique because it's the 50th anniversary of Earth Day. It's been 50 years since, way back in 1970 when, tens of millions of Americans got together to talk about and demand environmental protections that a lot of us today just kind of consider fundamental rights, like clean air, clean water, things like that. And I think Earth Day has, the meaning of Earth Day has really evolved over the last 50 years and kind of grown up with a new generation of concerns and a new generation of people that are expanding that and what Earth Day means to include a number of things. Obviously, first and foremost, climate adaptation and resiliency, facing those challenges. But really kind of this all-encompassing idea of community resilience. And I think this, the other thing that makes this Earth Day so unique is that obviously we're all celebrating, not just here in Tacoma, but across the planet. We all celebrated Earth Day last week a lot differently than I think we would have liked or would have hoped for. And, the Earth Day South Sound Partnership, of which the City of Tacoma is a part of, really worked hard and was really nimble and flexible to adapt and say, okay, although we can't come together in person to celebrate and commemorate Earth Day, what can we do to keep people engaged and involved? So Earth Day South Sound, not just last week, but throughout the entire month of April, and you're right, looking onwards into the rest of 2020, are really looking for ways that we can celebrate, even if we can't be together physically, ways that we can celebrate as a community. So Earth Day South Sound has promoted and posted a number of virtual challenges and events and things that our partners have hosted over the last few weeks. And we're really looking ahead to fall, although it's kind of unknown what fall will look like for not just our community, but for the planet, what the next few months will bring. But really looking forward to in the fall, hopefully being able to come together and specifically plant trees and celebrate our natural environment and our natural areas together once again in the fall. So kind of a celebration of trees, but really taking Earth Day this year and expanding it to mean more and figure out what it means every day, but especially now given this challenging time that we have.
Yes, good. I know that one of the people at the meeting, the original planning meeting, was talking about planting a tree for every child.
Yes, yeah, it's a lofty goal. And I think we still have that on our minds. So the idea originally was to plant a tree for every child in Pierce County, which would be about 210,000 trees. While that's still in our minds, we've kind of expanded it to say a healthy tree for every child in Pierce County. And what that means to us is not just putting new trees in the ground, but a really important part of tree stewardship is maintaining and ensuring that the existing trees that we have stay healthy. So it doesn't do any good to put trees in the ground, especially in our urban areas, if we're going to neglect them and, you know, not care for them properly, because a tree growing in downtown Tacoma is going to need a lot different care than a tree growing out in, you know, a more rural or open natural area. So we've expanded that idea of a child for every tree, or a tree for every child, rather, to mean a healthy tree for every child in Pierce County. And our urban forestry team, along with our community partners, have some great data that they can measure and ensure that we do, in fact, at the end of this year, have at least 210,000 healthy trees here in Pierce County.
I love that. That's great. I remember someone also talking about tree buddies, that a tree needs buddies. Do you remember that?
That doesn't ring a bell off the top of my head, but I bet you I know what they meant. You know, having trees nearby to each other. You know, the environmental and the health benefits of trees, they have to be within, you know, a tree can only provide benefits within about, I think it's about 100 feet in any direction. So we need to make sure that we have not only new trees planted, but, you know, trees that are close enough to each other that they're providing benefits for our community in the scale that we need. So it doesn't ring a bell off the top of my head, but that might have been what they were referring to as tree buddies.
I actually think what he meant was things like Mahonia and the things that you plant around a tree to help it stay healthy. All these kind of other native bushes and plants that can help the tree stay healthy. I remember someone also brought up, and actually it was me, the kind of trees that we plant would be important, because I know with our changing climate, some trees might not do as well as others. Has the group thought anything about that yet? Do you know?
Yeah, definitely. So we have here at the city, within our office, actually, a phenomenal urban forestry team. And one of the big things that I learned, I didn't know before I became a part of this team, is you're right. Just planting trees is not enough. You have to plant the right trees at the right time in the right area to provide the right benefits, which is a lot of considerations, and makes it really me really grateful to have an urban forestry team, because some varieties of trees are not suited well to being planted in urban areas. You know, I think we've all walked around parts of Tacoma and other cities where, you know, tree roots are pushing up the sidewalk or they're pushing up the road. Well, you know, when that tree was planted maybe 50, 60 years ago, it wasn't considered to be, you know, it wasn't, people didn't think about the variety of trees and how that tree's root structure might not do well in an urban area. Right. So urban forest management is a very real field of study that says, okay, you need to make sure you have the right trees in the right areas, because you're absolutely right. Given challenges like a changing climate, you have to make sure that there are trees that certain trees are better at carbon storage and sequestration than other trees. And certain trees provide more shade when you're talking about things like heat island effect and providing those health benefits for people. So yeah, like I'm just really grateful to have our urban forestry team that can guide, you know, our city and our community members to say, hey, you can't just put any tree in the ground anywhere. There is some management practice behind that. And luckily, you know, our urban forestry team is great and able to answer any and all questions that community members might have about that.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. Do you want to talk about one of the projects I know you had going on Facebook was that people would hug a tree and send you a picture?
Yeah. Of course, we had prior to the COVID-19 crisis, you know, we had some big plans to gather for a mass community celebration and appreciation of trees in Wright Park. You know, we wanted to get as many people together or across Tacoma to come together and celebrate trees with a hug. You know, just kind of this moment of physical and in-person appreciation for these trees, these objects that we sometimes take for granted when we're just walking down the street. Of course, given the situation that our you know, we all find ourselves in now, we were unable to do that. But we said, look, we can still do this. We just have to do it at a safe, socially distanced, you know, in a safe, socially distanced way. And so we encouraged folks to just go out into their own neighborhoods or their own yards, find a tree that you love, maybe a short distance walk from your house, and just take a moment to stop, look, reflect on that tree. And if you are comfortable doing so, snap a photo and share it with us. And, you know, we got dozens and dozens of photos sent to us and the Earth Day South Sound team of people out hugging trees. Or, you know, what I even loved was maybe it wasn't a real-time photo that they snapped that day, but people went through their old photo albums and said, hey, look, here's a photo of me from 10 years ago hugging this giant tree out on the Pacific or the Olympic Peninsula. And so we really saw from our community members this effort to take a moment and either reflect in the moment, you know, go out into their own yard or neighborhood, or reflect back on a past moment where they had an appreciation for trees. And even though we all had to look at it, you know, look at and experience these photos from our own homes, it was still a really heartening, encouraging thing to see.
Yes, and I think it was just the other day that on Facebook, Earth Day South Sound posted something about palm oil. The problem with palm oil. And I just love that they've added that piece, you know, the things that we need to stop doing.
Yeah, yeah. It's we wanted to, of course, there's a balance when you're talking about anything really, but especially when it comes to environmentalism. And there's always the piece of here are all the things that you can't do. You know, here are all the things you shouldn't be doing or that you need to stop doing. And I think that the Earth Day South Sound team did a really good job of balancing, you know, while there are things that we collectively need to stop doing or take a more critical look at to see if, hey, maybe this is something we should stop doing or adjust our behavior. We also wanted to balance that out with, look, in this time, especially now where it feels like there are so many things we can't do, here are some other things that you can do. So I think that taking a moment to hug a tree and snap a picture and appreciate trees for a moment was a good example of this this encouragement to go, here's something you can do. It may seem like a small step, but collectively it can have a real impact.
Yes, I agree. I really like that approach. I teach sustainability I'm an English professor, but Tacoma Community College has what's called a sustainability distinction pathway, and any course can be taught in that pathway because sustainability and climate change affect everything. Mm-hmm. So anyway, yeah. So I teach that, and I really do have to make sure that I don't discourage my students with too many don'ts.
Right, right. Yeah, that's a balance, you know, anytime. And in the work that we do is trying to encourage people that there are things that we can do or new ways that we can look at something and opportunities that can come out of you know, this climate crisis that we're facing to really come out of it stronger and more resilient on the end. So one other thing I want to touch on is last fall, back in December of 2019, Tacoma was the first city in the state of Washington to pass a climate emergency resolution. The city of Tacoma City Council unanimously passed and approved this resolution, which basically means a lot for our office because it means that we now have more flexibility to look at climate adaptation and our next iteration of the Environmental Action Plan with more of a environmental justice and climate resilience lens. You know, the last Environmental Action Plan, which is basically a blueprint or a guideline for how Tacoma as a community is going to tackle a number of environmental topics, but basically what it looks like, our last iteration, while it had a climate adaptation component to it, we're really looking forward to this next year being able to incorporate even more and even stronger emphasis on climate resilience and climate justice and environmental justice and what that looks like for Tacoma for the next 5 years. So we were really proud of that last year. And although we've been a little bit delayed given this, you know, the COVID-19 crisis that we're in, we're really looking forward to hitting the ground running and kind of adapting what it looks like to update that Environmental Action Plan for the next 5 years. So stay tuned for that.
Oh, I'm so glad. We actually use it in my course. I have the students read parts of it.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. In fact, a group of students went down and talked to Lynette about climate migration. She had talked to us about that to a group of faculty at TCC, that a lot of people will be moving to Tacoma. Because we actually, our climate's going to be pretty good over the next 30 years. It'll get drier, of course, but we won't have some of the terrible heat problems that some other parts of the country will have. So anyway, my students went down and interviewed Lynette about that. And I know that you know, I know that the Office of Sustainability is aware that we will, our population will likely be increasing.
Mm-hmm. And yeah.
That's a good thing. And then we have to also make plans for that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's absolutely, it's, along with an increase in population, you know, comes a lot of challenges, but I think, like I mentioned earlier too, it's a good chance for not only our office, but, the city as an organization and our community members to say, okay, what opportunities are going to come out of this? You know, this is, while we may be, you know, challenged in some respects, there are a lot of things that'll come out of it that it could be positives. And we're looking forward to engaging with community members, especially over this next year as we develop our new plan to say, okay, what does this environmental action plan look like given a changing Tacoma? You know, how should we change our plan given that Tacoma is going to probably look a lot different here in the next 2, 3, 5, 30 years that we're here?
Oh, that's great. Will you have some time for public input on that?
We sure will. Yeah. In fact, it was a little bit short notice. We had a community conversation last week. It was the first time that we tried kind of experimenting with this virtual video conference community conversation and kind of listening session to hear what, one, to report on how we've been doing. We on Earth Day last week released our 2019 progress report on the current environmental action plan. So last week's conversation was an opportunity to go through that progress report, talk about progress that's been made, but then also first talk to community members kind of in a first step towards saying, what do we want the next iteration of this plan to look like? And the conversation went really, really well. We had about 50 people on the call, and it was it taught us that, yes, this is still a workable medium of communication to engage with folks. So we're going to be looking forward to doing that again in the next few months for sure.
Great, great. You know, back for a minute to Tacoma declaring a climate emergency, I was actually there the day that the Sunrise Movement Washington group had their climate strike on December 6th, and I recorded some of the wonderful interviews of youth's stories and their reasons for being there. And then I know that they went to the city council the next Tuesday, I think, after that. And that's when the city council agreed to a climate emergency. So I'm guessing that Sunrise Washington has some representation on the amongst the people who are informing your climate strategies.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to somebody last week and they asked if it was our office, you know, OEPS that made that climate emergency resolution happen. And my answer was no, you know, it was not our office that made that happen. We might have been the city division that logistically, you know, pushed it through to city council and kind of presented it to them. But that climate emergency resolution was a result of partnerships from, you know, our youth that spoke up on the issue, our Native American communities and neighbors, our young people, our you know, community members that are really active and engaged and really made this vocal call to action from our city leadership. So, like I said, it on paper, it may be our office that pushed it through, but it was certainly a community collective effort that made that climate emergency resolution happen. And it's, you know, the actions that come out of that resolution are going to be and are going to take and require community input and action as well. Our office can't do the things outlined in the resolution alone. We need community input and community help along the way. So we're looking forward to that. It's certainly going to be challenging, but if we can co-create what the future of Tacoma's environmental, you know, an environmental justice looks like in Tacoma, then I think we'll be in a good place.
Yes, yes, and I was very impressed with the group, the young people, you know, from like 12-year-olds to, you know, people my age.
Yeah.
But mostly young people. I mean, I remember there was an entire group from Lincoln High School started their own climate group, club. Love this.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And, you know, I think that gets back to what I said at the beginning of our conversation today, which talking about Earth Day and how much Earth Day has changed its meaning and how it's evolved with this new generation over the last 50 years. You know, I was talking to my mother-in-law on the phone just before Earth Day. She lives out in Eastern Washington. And I said, hey, do you remember the first Earth Day 50 years ago? You know, she was in high school at the time. And she said, yeah, you know, we went out and And we picked up litter around Lake Roosevelt High School. That's what we did for Earth Day. And yeah. I was struck when she said that, you know, obviously picking up litter is still an important thing we all need to do, but it struck me how much her high school experience noticing and commemorating Earth Day way back in 1970 is compared to a lot of high schoolers and the activism that we see with our young people and our young communities today and what Earth Day means to them. And it was just a really insightful moment for me to say, wow, Earth Day has really evolved with this new generation, and we need to listen to this new generation.
Yeah. Well, before we close, do you want to talk a little bit about how people could get involved either with Earth Day South Sound, or maybe both Earth Day South Sound and also your Office of Sustainability?
Yeah, definitely. So first and foremost, I'll invite listeners to go to earthdaysouthsound.org. Earth Day might be over, but like you said, we've got a whole year planned of activities and inspiration and engagement and ways you can get involved with Earth Day and celebrating Earth Day year round. So that's earthdaysouthsound.org. And as far as our office, I'd invite you to check out cityoftacoma.org/EAP. That stands for Environmental Action Plan. cityoftacoma.org/EAP. And like I mentioned, just last week on Earth Day, we released our latest 2019 progress report on the Environmental Action Plan. So listeners might be interested to peruse that, see how we're doing when it comes to sustainability and environmentalism in Tacoma. And then keep an eye on that page, because here in the next few weeks and months, we're going to be posting more opportunities for how community members can get involved, how they can stay active, and how they can have their voices heard when we're developing this new Environmental Action Plan. So of course, we're also on Facebook and Instagram at Tacoma Sustainability. You can follow us. We do daily updates, inspiration and ideas for not just Earth Day, but all things sustainability year round.
Yes, I've seen some of those. They're great. I know Earth Day South Sound has a Facebook page too, as well as many of your partners like the Tacoma Tree Foundation. And I don't know if Washington Native Plant Society is involved, but I remember at that meeting, there were, I don't know, 30 different groups. The zoo is involved, mm-hmm. and a lot of groups.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been really fortunate this year. We had a really great collaborative effort for Earth Day South Sound. You named a few, you know, Tacoma Tree Foundation, Metro Parks Tacoma, Pierce Conservation District, Point Defiance Zoo, Puyallup Watershed Initiative, you know, Tacoma Public Utilities. We have our whole list of partners listed on Earth Day South Sound. Check it out, give them the support. And of course, I think I can speak on behalf of all of our partners when I say, please let any of us know if you have questions for how you can get involved with Earth Day South Sound, either today or for, you know, looking all the way ahead to Earth Day 2021.
Cool. Well, one of the questions that was asked at that meeting, I thought we could end with this, was, what is your favorite tree?
My favorite tree? Well, I had about five pop into my head right as you asked that question. Last year, my husband and I participated in the Grit City Trees program, which is a free street trees program offered through our office, our urban forestry team. And we planted two small scarlet oak trees right outside of our house in the right of way. And it's just been fantastic to see this year, now that we've had 10 or 12 months of having those trees in the ground, to see the tiny little buds coming out of spring. And it's just a good reminder for me of kind of growth and renewal. And it really felt good to take that action to put those trees in the ground. So if for no other reason than I planted them myself, and I'm really looking forward to nurturing them and caring for them and celebrating them right outside my house, I think my answer's got to be scarlet oak trees.
Oh, that's a good choice. You know, Doug Ptolemy in his book, Bringing Home Nature, said that oak trees are the hosts for most of the insects and birds that we need. So oak trees, a great choice.
Yeah, I think so too. I love their leaf structure, and they've just, especially those vibrant colors on the scarlet oaks you get in the fall. I think it's a pretty good option. So I love that.
So I'm going to choose a fir tree, because Louisa and I live in Fircrest, and a lot of our trees are really old, actually, and very tall, and some of them have had to come down, quite a few every summer have to come mm-hmm. down. So our mantra is that we want to keep Fircrest furry.
And I like that.
So we're, you know, when fir trees send out their little pods for trees, you know, young ones plant, pop up. So we transplanted them to various areas of our front yard, backyard to keep Fircrest furry.
Yeah, that's fantastic. You know, we get that question a lot, you know, that feeling of guilt of needing to take out a tree or move a tree. You know, that's all part of that urban forest management. You know, our urban forest needs care and consideration and management. And I think it's just a balance of, you know, keeping in mind that if a tree is not healthy or needs some kind of care, maybe you plant a new tree elsewhere where it makes sense to make up for that one that had to come out. So that's all part of the kind of concept of urban forest management. And I think it can, you know, it's just such a, like I said, something that we often take for granted when we're walking around our streets and neighborhoods. But if we can all just take a second to stop and look at the trees in our area and take a moment of appreciation for all that they do, I think, you know, that's something we all need right now and every day is just kind of those small moments of appreciation.
Yes, I agree. And I just got to give a plug for Wright Park. I just love how those trees are from the before the 1900s, I think, some of them.
Yeah, yeah.
In the late 1800s.
Yeah, we, my husband and I now live in central Tacoma, but we did live just until last fall right next to Wright Park. And we would walk in there daily and just admire and look at the diversity of species and the diversity of trees and looking at those champion trees. If you haven't been to Wright Park in a while or next time you go, take a look and keep an eye out for those white placards or cream colored placards that are on the trees and read about those champion trees, which from what I understand, those champion trees means that they're one of the largest, if not the largest tree species of that kind, I think in the state of Washington. So there's a number of them in Wright Park. So next time you're there, I encourage you to check that out.
Yes, and almost all the big trees have little plaques telling you what they are too. We go down every time and every time we forget. We try to test ourselves, so it's great.
Yep. Well, let Earth Day South Sound inspire you to take a moment and read those plaques and learn a little bit more about the trees we have here in Tacoma.
Yes, get our kids out once the stay-at-home advisory is relaxed a little bit. I think Wright Park's still open, of course, at this point.
Yeah, as long as we're safe and socially distanced, you can still get some fresh air and enjoy the trees.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you so much, Leah.
Thank you
for joining me in Tacoma today.
Yes, thank you.